You're listening to The Morning Drip, South Georgia's number one morning show. For independent voices and liberated perspectives, got a question or comment? You can text the show at 229-234-1307.
Wait, 229-234-1307.
Hey, and good morning. Welcome to The Morning Drip. My name is Donovan, and today is October the 1st, 2026. It is Spooktober. You know, this quarter is always my favorite quarter of the year. Even though I'm born in the first quarter of the year, I really do enjoy the last quarter of the year. It's the holiday quarter. You know, you start out in October, you've got all the spookiness, the macabre. I mean, if you really like Halloween, and you know, it's kind of like people that celebrate Christmas because they really like all of the decorations, you know, all of the bright lights, the Christmas trees, just that joyous atmosphere. Well, there's a lot of people that enjoy Halloween the same way. I mean, we, in my family, something that we started this year is instead of putting up a Christmas tree every year, we have put up what we're calling a holiday tree. And so this tree has just basic white lights on it, and it's on a timer so that it comes on around 5:30 in the morning, then goes off around midnight. And depending on what the holiday is, that's how it gets decorated. Like right now, it has Halloween knickknacks on the tree, ornaments and what have you. I'm not entirely sure what you do for Thanksgiving, you know, a cornucopia or whatever. But and then, of course, after Thanksgiving, we've got some Christmas ornaments and what have you. So, yeah, welcome to Spooktober. Too bad I need to put something on the soundboard for October. All right, let's start the morning off with the big flashing red light, and that is the government shutdown. I think this is like, I remember reading somewhere, this is either the 15th or 16th government shutdown we've had since 1980. And it's going to screw up a lot of people. Fortunately, critical services will continue, but, you know, some of the folks will not get paid while they do their jobs, which in itself sucks. But okay, let's just be honest with what's going on here. And there's a lot of memes out there that are going around because, you know, the two sides are pointing fingers at each other. And one of the many memes that I've seen out there is the fact that, well, the House majority is Republican. The Senate majority is Republican. The White House has a Republican president. So this government shutdown, if anyone has to, quote, own it, it would be the Republicans. Granted, the Republicans are bitching and moaning about the fact that this is actually caused by the Democrats because the Republicans put forth a very clean continuing resolution to fund the government into November. And they are accusing the Democrats of one of the reasons why the Democrats have not actually, you know, approved this, quote, clean bill, the big, beautiful bastard of a bill that was passed in the last couple of months, is going to severely impact Medicaid, Medicare. And what we're looking at right now is the fact that, and what the Democrats want, rather, is the ACA, your premiums are going to go up. Let's just put it that way. That subsidy that if you are someone who doesn't work for a company where you can get your health care insurance, your health insurance there, whether you get it totally free or you have to contribute, which is most common, you have to pay a little bit. But then if you're someone who is, you work for a company, maybe they're small enough that they don't have to provide health insurance, or you're an independent business owner like me, where you have to go to the marketplace. And of course, here in Georgia, now we have our own marketplace. Prior to this past year, you went to healthcare.gov. Well, based on your income, you get subsidies from the federal government. That is part of the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, which, by the way, it still boggles my mind the number of people that don't understand that Obamacare is just the nickname for the ACA. There's still folks out there that's like, I don't like that Obamacare, but I'm okay with the ACA. Please educate yourself a little bit. I mean, you can, it's okay not to know something, but it's rather embarrassing when you put it on full display that you don't know what you're talking about. So anyway, there were additional subsidies going through COVID and all this other kind of stuff that are going away. And that's just going to add insult to injury when it comes to the fact that reports are showing that if that subsidy is not continued, healthcare premiums for people going through the marketplace are going to go up by as much as 75%. 75%. So that's very telling, and it also could lead to a number of people, yours truly included, that may just have to drop health insurance altogether and just take our chances, because I already pay for what I call a craptastic major medical plan. I think the deductible is like $17,000. So I better be damn near dying before I have to go to the hospital. And over the course of the last several years, it has gone up from my contribution of about $75 a month to, I think this year I started paying $130 a month. The total premium is around $1,100. So the government is kicking in everything as a subsidy. They're subsidizing that premium with the exception of $130. Now, if that $130 goes up by 75%, that means I'll be paying probably close to $230 a month, almost double, not quite. I know how math works, but almost double for the same if they don't change the plan to make it even crappier. But if they don't, then it's going to be $220 to $230 estimated for the same piece of shit insurance that I currently pay for. And I'm not sure that my budget can allow for an additional $100 a month. I'm rounding up $1,200 additional dollars for the year. All right. So it's very important that these subsidies are re-upped. But here's the kicker. The Republicans, and I wish I could say that they were just being ignorant, but I think they're being malicious. The Republicans are painting the Democratic Party as the ones that are trying to not continue the ACA subsidies, but they want, the Republicans are claiming that the Democrats want to provide free health care to undocumented immigrants, illegal immigrants. That is what they constantly have been preaching about this shutdown. They're saying that the Democratic Party is not negotiating in fairness, and that they just want to provide billions of dollars of free health care to people who came into this country illegally. That is a bold-faced lie. The President of the United States sits right there in the Oval Office and keeps perpetuating that same damn lie. The Democrats, and I will quantify or qualify this particular instance, all they are seeking is some redress for some screw-ups in the big beautiful, the big bastard bill. It's not beautiful at all. They're trying to prevent these ACA subsidies from expiring, which, as I've already previously said, could increase up to 75% the premium cost to average Americans that go through the marketplace. Yet the Republicans keep pointing the finger at the Democrats, saying, you just want to give free health care to people that come into this country illegally. It is illegal. Now, whether it gets enforced or not, that's a completely and separate issue. And considering who controls all of the enforcement arms of this particular law, well, the onus is on the executive branch to make sure that the laws are followed, correct? So if it's already illegal for an undocumented immigrant, an illegal immigrant, whichever way you want to slice it and call it, it is illegal for them to get health insurance through the marketplaces. It is. So when the Democrats are out there doing the media circus, trying to say, well, if the government is shut down, it's all because the Democrats want to provide billions of dollars of free health care to illegal immigrants. That is 100% complete bullshit. It is not true. So this particular shutdown, I blame both parties. I blame the right slightly more because they're out there perpetuating lies, which is what they do 90% of the time, unfortunately. And I'm not saying the Democrats are much better. They've got their faults for sure. But in this instance, the Democrats are not lying. They simply want to make sure that those subsidies do not expire, because otherwise, those of us who are on our own small little businesses, independent contractors, everybody like that that has to get their health insurance through the marketplaces are about to really, really, really suffer the pain. Anyway, what do you think about this shutdown? Send me a text, 229-234-1307, or you can email. That email address is station@radiotiff.com. Good morning, everyone. It is currently 7:19 a.m., October 1st, 2025. Currently 66 degrees outside. Looks like we're going to have a high of 65, rather a low of 65 today, a high of 85, and it's going to be partly sunny. Good morning, everybody. And welcome back to The Morning Drip. I'm Donovan. It is currently 7:29 a.m. on this very first day of Spooktober. Oh, as I talked about at the beginning of the show, you know, this is one of my favorite times of the year because fourth quarter. I think I said third quarter in the beginning. I'm still trying to get my coffee going. But yeah, fourth quarter of the year. Holidays, you know? So along with the government shutdown, what else do we have going on? Well, yesterday we had Secretary of Defense, because I absolutely refuse to call him the Secretary of War. He's more of a Secretary of Dipshittery, but that's just me. Anyway, he called, I think it's something like 800 top military leaders, admirals and generals and what have you, which in itself was just unprecedented to have the brunt of military leadership located in one spot. And then to have the Secretary of Defense and have the President of the United States at the same location. That is, any country or anybody that would have wanted to just cut the nuts off of the United States when it comes to our military, that would have been the prime opportunity. I mean, it's a terrorist wet dream right there. Fortunately, it didn't happen. I'm glad it didn't happen. I'm not advocating for that. By no stretch of the imagination was I advocating for that at all. Quite the contrary. And the reason why I say quite the contrary is Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, got up there. God, I don't know how long his speech was, but he's talking to, 800 military leaders? And he's got this bug up his butt about the warrior ethos. And full transparency, I never served in the military. I have never served in law enforcement. I respect our military personnel. And I respect our law enforcement to the extent that they respect the citizenry and follow the Constitution. You start having your bad apples out there, they have a tendency to ruin the whole bushel, as the saying goes. But for the most part, I think people that are in the military and are in law enforcement, the majority of them want to do the right thing. They're good, decent human beings. ICE is a completely another story, and I won't get into that. But Hegseth's got this thing about the warrior ethos. He And I think that's the reason why they wanted to start calling. And it requires Congress to make this change official. And I hope they don't do this. So basically, the Defense Department is now called the, you know, Department of Defense is now has a secondary name of Department of War. And that is what Hegseth would like everyone to refer to him as, the Secretary of War. I will not. He is the Secretary of Defense. So he gets up there and he talks to these 700 or 800 or so military leaders and starts talking about how the previous Department of Defense was the defense of, it was a woke department, quote, woke. You know, a word that has lost all meaning, especially from those on the right, because they never understood what, quote, being woke meant anyway. Jesus Christ was woke. I'm telling you, if he were to come back today, if he were to actually come back today and present himself as his stories are presented in the Bible, the first, I hate to say this, but the first political party that would try to crucify him again would be the Republicans, especially your white Christian nationalist Republicans. But I digress. So Hegseth up there saying the days of the woke Department of Defense are over, that we've got the biggest, baddest military in the world, which is not wrong. We do. And that's because we spend almost $1 trillion on our military budget, which I think is the equivalent of like 20 other Western nations military, something like that. I forget the number, but it's astronomical when you look at the chart. So he wants to bring up all these new standards, you know, grooming, as he called it, beardos. He doesn't want anybody to have a beard. Okay, whatever. I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, if you're someone who's actually over, let's say you're in the sandbox and you're in the thick of it, I don't think you're going to be all too worried about if your facial hair grooming is up to par, you know. If you're going to be in the Pentagon, you're going to be on military bases here in the United States, whatever. Okay, I don't have a problem with that necessarily. The weight issue, he just come out swinging, talking about basically not going to have fat military people and that it's a bad look to even have fat generals and admirals walking the halls of the Pentagon. He didn't pull any punches on that. And though he says he has no problem with women in the military, as long as they can meet the stringent requirements that he's now set back up, it's easy for him to say, considering he just abolished the one, I forget if it was, I think it was a committee or a group or something that looked at women in the military. Don't be fooled. Pete Hegseth wants a military that is comprised of only men. No trans people, no gay people, just straight, and I hate to say it, white men. That's what he's after. I don't see it any other way. Now, the scarier part of what happened yesterday was when Trump took the stage, which was not the original plan, but of course, he's never going to let an opportunity go by that he can't try to get some, you know, adulation and pats on the back for, you know, 7 or 8 wars that he claims that he has ended in the first 8 months of his presidency. Fact check, he hasn't ended a single war. Anyway, he gets up there and, you know, he just goes on his whole rhetoric. He should get the Nobel Peace Prize and the tariffs have the economy roaring back for the United States, which, by the way, is not true. The man still does not understand who actually pays those fees. You know, they like to say, oh, the United States Treasury got, you know, so many billions of dollars this month in tariffs. Yeah, from your own citizens, because that's where the money comes from. I'd like to think that he's not that dumb, but he hasn't proven it to me otherwise. But the scariest thing is when he made some off-the-cuff comment about using the dangerous cities, the war-torn cities in the United States, you know, like Portland. Oh my goodness. Portland, war-ravaged. Need to send in the National Guard. Need to send in the military. Chicago. Using these cities as training grounds for the military. Full stop. That's what he said. That is some scary shit right there, folks. That is some scary, scary shit. And look, that's not to say that some states do not have certain cities that have higher crime rates than others. We're always going to have crime. We're always going to have some form of crime. But what this administration sees as crime, well, look at Portland. The only thing that Portland has done is they have an ICE facility. I think it's a detention center or something, maybe an administrative building. Honestly, I can't remember. Don't care, because it's not important. But there have been demonstrations outside this facility, which is legal. It's a First Amendment right for you to seek redress against your government or to make it known that you don't agree. That's the whole point of protesting. And so he sees stuff like that. And then it's very telling when the governor of Oregon calls the president and explains to the president that Portland nor any other city in Oregon is war ravaged, that the demonstrations that have been happening in Portland were easily handled by law enforcement. Trump's response was, so what I'm seeing on television is not right, not real, wrong, something like that. I'm paraphrasing. So the commander in chief is making decisions, it appears, is making decisions on whether to send in the National Guard, of which the governor of Oregon has not requested, but he's making decisions based on crap that he's seeing on television, which is going to be false reports, especially considering he's watching Fox News primarily, or OAN, or any of those other severely right-leaning news organizations. And then his own people are telling him it's a terrible place. There's so much destruction. I mean, even he talks in about fires. What fires? So it's amazing. But it's very telling, and it kind of supports something that I have said before. I don't think Trump is actually doing anything. I honestly, he's just a figurehead. He's just a mouthpiece. He goes out, he stirs up the masses, those that support him. But the real policy changes are being pushed by his advisors and people like Stephen Miller. Trump would never admit this. Trump probably doesn't even realize that he is being coerced, or he's being influenced, I should say, not coerced necessarily, because there's nothing that man's ever done that he'd be ashamed enough to allow any type of coercion. But he's being influenced by, you know, maybe a whisper here and there. Oh, you need to see this on television, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, honestly, why else would you have a governor of a state calling up the president and saying, everything you're saying about Portland, Oregon is wrong. We're here. We're on the ground. We know. I mean, if he's really that concerned, hop your ass on Air Force One and go to Portland. Meet with the governor. Walk around the entire city with your security entourage. See for yourself. But yeah. And even more telling to me was the fact that, and I got to give kudos to the military leadership here, dead silence the entire time that Hegseth was up there talking. And you could see on Hegseth's face that he was expecting some, you know, like clapping, applauding, some kind of verbal cues that everybody was on board with what he was saying. He got none of that. And even when Trump came out, he made comments about how quiet the room was and that if you want to applaud, it's okay to applaud. Nobody applauded. That's because the military is supposed to be apolitical. And that right there is what the military leadership demonstrated. Now, in private, I'm quite confident, and I have seen some comments from some people in private, some of the military leadership there that are basically shaking their head and going, WTF, man, what has happened to this country? So, yeah, let's see how that goes. You know, he keeps sending in National Guard and he keeps claiming that you know, LA might as well be a war-torn, war-ravaged city as well. He's trying to normalize. He's trying to get everybody accustomed to, and I'm telling you, I will never get accustomed to this, but thankfully so far, this has not happened in South Georgia. I will never get accustomed to living in a country, living in Georgia, living in Tifton, and having military personnel, National Guard or otherwise, patrolling the streets. That's not America. That is not the America that I grew up in. And that is not the America that, even though my kids are grown, almost all of them now are over 30, that's not the America that I want them to live the rest of their lives in. Does America have problems? Sure. Every country does. That's the reason why we elect leaders that are supposed to represent our interests, and then we can get legislation passed to help this country grow, to help people grow as individuals, to help people grow as communities, to help the states grow, and to help the United States itself flourish. That's not what we've got right now. Good morning and welcome back to the Morning Drip. I am Donovan. It is 7:55 a.m., closing in on 8 o'clock this morning. One last story we're going to talk about today before I let you get out of here and get on with your October 1st, your first day of Spooktober. So someone like myself, being in the tech industry for 35 years now, and with everything dealing with AI, and how good it has gotten over the last 2, 3, 4 years. I mean, my goodness. You know, and I'm going to be transparent. I use ChatGPT for a lot of things. It helps me summarize articles. It helps me rewrite some of the things that, you know, I'll write the original. And then I'm like, let's see what you can do. And then, of course, I have to make edits and fixes and things like that. And the video stuff, deep fakes. Deep fakes for video, deep fakes for audio. It's getting rough out there, folks. So this week, the hoopla is about Tilly Norwood. Now, Tilly Norwood is not a real person. Tilly Norwood is a computer-generated, quote, actress created by, if I can pronounce this right, I think it's Jacquoa. Anyway, it's an AI studio that's within the UK production company Particle 6, founded by Dutch actor-producer Aline van der Velden. Norwood debuted in a short AI-assembled comedy sketch called AI Commissioner, and of course, posts regularly on Instagram as a, quote, aspiring actress. The reason why it's in the news is because Particle 6 has been shopping her to actual Hollywood talent agencies, which is, of course, rightfully so, prompted sharp pushback from actors in the SAG-AFTRA. They see a synthetic performer as a threat to human jobs after, of course, the 2023 strikes over AI protections. And coverage has been from mainstream outlets as agents reportedly considered meetings. Meetings now. These agents considered meetings for a non-real actress. Van der Velden argues that Tilly is a creative experiment, quote, not a replacement for a human being. And then you have critics, including Whoopi Goldberg and other actors, warning audiences they just won't connect with AI stars. So you want to, if you're on Instagram, and you want to check out this AI, quote, actress, at Tilly Norwood, T-I-L-L-Y-N-O-R-W-O-O-D, at Tilly Norwood on Instagram. I mean, I've seen her. I say her. I guess I should say it. I, from a business perspective, and this is just going to be cold, a cold business viewpoint. Let's put it that way. If you don't have to pay an actor or actress $10 to $20 million for a role from a purely business standpoint, using an AI-generated actress that can literally do anything, and I mean anything, good or bad, and cost you pennies on the dollar, then it does kind of make sense. Again, from purely business calculations. However, the human element, and that's something that we always need to consider when we create new products and services that have a detrimental effect to certain industries. Human beings need to feel useful. We need to have a purpose. And a lot of people, that purpose is their job. And so you wind up in a situation where nobody can honestly become an actor, but now they basically have to become a prompt engineer, which, hell, I think that's even, that kind of went way up and then just fell through the floor on job postings for, quote, prompt engineers. But it's, we've got to find an ethical way of doing this, that to where we can all work in tandem with artificial intelligence, whether it's just it's text-based and you use it to assist you with your job, not do the job for you, but maybe make you more efficient at your job. Creative endeavors, little skits, TV shows, movies, that kind of thing. We still need that human element to be able to be a part of this. And I don't have the answer for it. I don't know which direction, where to head and how to do this. I do agree with a lot of the actors and actresses that this is scary. And especially when you've got agents that are going, yeah, let me take a meeting and let's see what we can do with putting Tilly Norwood in some projects or something. I don't know. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about artificial intelligence in general? Do you use stuff like ChatGPT or Claude or Perplexity, any of them out there? I mean, Gemini, Copilot. I mean, honestly, all the search engines have it built in now. You just can't get away from it. But how do you feel about that? How do you feel about this particular instance? Having an artificial creation that looks and sounds and acts and has mannerisms of like a young female actress. And that actually becoming a normal thing in Hollywood. What are your thoughts on it? Let me know. You can text the show at 229-234-1307. Again, that's 229-234-1307. Until I get the other email address created for the show, you can email station@radiotift.com. Let me know your thoughts on artificial intelligence, the military, Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense yesterday, and all the military leadership, and the government shutdown, and how basically we're all being lied to. Anyway, I hope you have a wonderful first day of October, Spooktober. We'll be back whenever we're back. We're trying to figure out if we're going to make this a regular morning thing or if it's just going to be a couple of times during the week. This is just a test show. Anyway, take care of yourselves, and we'll talk soon.